Okay.
Blog Talk
Hey, everybody,
Radio.
Welcome around.
Ready to get freaky with you tonight, Freaky Friday.
Freaky
cool.
Friday.
Yeah, I've never had a show on Friday night. So, I mean, as far as, you know, this just her is concerned, you know, first time I've ever used that term.
Well, now it's going to be Freaky Friday.
Exactly. It's going to be Spooky Friday because got Sav Spooks on Friday nights. The Going Ghost.
Going Ghost with Spooky Sav on Freaky Friday.
Oh, man. That's a mouthful.
So, Ryan, I just want to thank you very much for welcoming Underground to the Vibe Radio Network, to the Vibe family. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
It is no problem. Glad to have you guys on board with us.
Thanks. So, Ryan, you started the Freaking Awesome show 7 years ago.
Yes, ma'am.
So long ago.
I know. I thought it was six. So it was funny. I was doing the ad for the anniversary show, and I started this show in 2014. It's 2021. Now that's 7 years ago. I thought it was 6 years ago. I even had a flyer made, a little banner made, 6 year anniversary. And I'm like, wait a second.
Lost a year.
Yeah. I guess my mouth skills have gone away with my age.
Actually, that was just you weren't counting 2020, which we all wish we could forget.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like we just want to rewind, stay in 2019. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. 2021, kind of iffy.
Who came up with the name for the Freaking Awesome show? Was it you or Angie?
This is BA.
This definitely predates
this is me. Before Angie. I'll give you the story about what happened. Dennis and his friend Matt, he's my friend too. They had two radio shows on this radio network, Blog Talk Network. One was on Wednesday nights, another one was on Monday nights. They were both 2 hours long, and he wanted to just focus on one show. So he asked if there's anyone that was that would be willing to take over his time slot. So I said, yeah, I'll do it for, just to see if we'll have almost for shits and giggles. Like, yeah, I'll try it out and see what happens. The first time I actually went on a show, I was with Howie Odell, and we called into Dennis's show, and I was so nervous. I kept saying yes, sir, and no, sir, to Dennis. Because I was all tongue-tied, and I felt like, oh, my God, I'm talking to someone on the radio? Holy crap. So I was like, man, this is someone actually famous. Little did I know.
Well, that's crazy because I'm not changed.
Nope, I'm still super nervous.
Still super nervous.
Yeah, I'm a little
tongue-tied
now.
No one's called me sir yet, though, so I must be doing something wrong.
I call you sir all the time.
Well, that's in the bedroom, so let's not talk about that. I always Freaky Friday, so, you know. But anyways, yeah, I took over the time slot, and I figured it would last a month, maybe, because my personality is not really that into, like, I'm not really a super outgoing person. So I'm actually surprised it lasted this long. It was one of those things where it just kept going and going and going and going. Now it's like if I miss a day, I feel like something's wrong. Like, oh, something's missing.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I need to rush.
I understand
that.
I mean,
you're
something
you need
to
do.
Right, yeah.
2016?
Yeah. No, I think you were 2017. It would be
2018.
Well, 2017.
No, it wasn't 2018. That's when we had the baby.
Yeah, 2017.
Because it was me, you, and Miller.
That's true, yeah. So, yeah, Angie started...
late 2017.
Yeah, Angie started in 2017 with us. As far as the Freaking Awesome show, I don't remember who made the name up, honestly. It was a group effort as far as the name is concerned. I was actually surprised it wasn't a freaking awesome, like, anything. I made the show up, so I'm like, okay, this worked.
So it's only been, what, 4 years for Angie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was it? 4 years for Angie, 7 years total for the show.
Yeah, I've missed quite a few shows, though, especially RJ has been born. It's hard to balance, like, your personal life and, like, coming on to do this. And I know it's just once a week for an hour, but, you know, when you're working full-time and you have a two-year-old and we're both together, like, there's no,
yeah.
like, there's no divide there. So one of us has to just say, okay, I'll take care of this. And so since this is his baby, like you said, he loves the show, the freaking awesome show. It's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess 7 years.
Yeah, we were. Huh. Yeah, it's been quite a ride.
So the first time Ryan ever called me his girlfriend was actually on the air on his show.
Yeah, it's just like breaking news stuff on happens on the show. You find out what happened when I have a girlfriend.
It was like, my girlfriend Angie, and I was like, oh my god!
Yes,
yeah,
well, maybe there'll be some extra exciting things on the show with you guys.
Exactly.
But yeah, and it is hard to balance your everyday life and do a podcast and take care of the cabin and paranormal investigate. It's like a juggling act.
Well, I think a lot of credit for the cabin has to go to Dennis, because he does a lot of stuff out there that I don't necessarily have time to do with RJ stuff. So I got to give a lot of credit to him for really stepping up and, you know, meeting people out there and doing kind of stuff to keep the cabin running when I'm not able to go out there.
Yes, that's kind of like his baby.
Yeah, it's so cool that we are able to run that place together. And it was kind of by accident. We had the two buildings, and it actually was actually on a team with Howie O'Dell for like a year and a half, and I told him that there was this house that that there was a murder in the house, but I hadn't had any kind of activity in there. And I had been in there doing work and stuff, so I wasn't really looking for spirits or anything because I was by myself. I wasn't really into paranormal then, and I wasn't going to try to, you know, egg the ghost on by myself, so I definitely was not looking for paranormal. Of course, I'd go in there. What happened was when the basement would flood or whatever, they would send me in there with a shop vac to get the water out of the basement. So I'd go in there, and I'd be like all nervous and stuff, walking in. Okay, is anybody ghost in here? Don't bother me, you know. Like they
right,
were
yeah.
the first one. But I told Howie, like, you know, we have this location, don't know if there's anything in there, but we can use it as a place to investigate, practice investigations with our team. So he went there and with the team, and I had to go to a family function. So I left him at the house, and they're going to do an overnight investigation. Well, I think I'm not positive, like, the timing or whatever, but I think they're only in there for a couple hours. Before he pulled the team out, he said he heard growling. One of the team members got scratched. One of the team members burst into tears while they were there. And you know, after he told me that, I was like, oh my god. But I didn't get a chance to go back in to the house until, like, I think it might have been 2015 that he was in there. So I didn't get back in there, or 2014. I didn't get back in there until the summer of 2016 with Dennis. And, like, the first time we were in there, the first thing he walks first thing he said when he walked in the door was, this place has something in it that's not human and never has been. And after doing a tour of the basement, we just walk around the basement, we both heard a blood-curdling scream inside the house. And we were the only ones in the house, and none of us screamed.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
so,
there's a lot of stuff in that rancher.
Much
so
to
is
count.
That around the time, is that around the time you first started investigating?
I actually started investigating. Then I was with All Thing Paranormal Society, and we started investigating, I guess, end of 2012, early 2013 is when we first started investigating, or I first started investigating. As far as Andy, when did you first start investigating? Was it with me or was it with somebody else?
I mean, I never officially investigated, like, on a team, but when I was a kid, always going what I called in North Carolina with my cousins and stuff, but they were all of these run-down barns and tobacco fields, tobacco barns and farmhouses, and, like, I always sense and feel things, so I would, you know, hang out with them as a early teen and do things, but as far as, like, official investigating, it wasn't until
Crop.
I was with you.
Crop,
with
yeah.
Crop.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I did this stuff when I was a kid. We had a house down the street from here.
You used to go to Screamer's.
Yes, right. It's called, yeah, all right, so in my neighborhood, they just tore it down, but there's a spot right behind my neighborhood called Screamersville. And in Screamersville, they have, it was where they, supposedly where they had a slave quarters during the Civil War. And if you go back into the woods, their claims, I've never heard, but the claims are that you could hear, you know, screams in the woods. So they named it Screamersville. So there was a house back there. And we would go in when, you know, we were kids and dare people to go in, and that's where we ghost hunted.
And there was a cemetery back there, too?
And, yes, there was a cemetery right behind the house. It's still there. They tore the house down, but they kept the cemetery, and they built houses around it.
Oh.
Well, it's fenced in.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's fenced in. And then there's a house right beside it.
Apartment.
Yeah, then an apartment complex.
Think about looking out your window and seeing that.
Nice.
Right.
Frightening. I heard they go all out for Halloween.
What?
Dreamersville?
Yeah. So in the cabin in the rancher, Dennis would have more of the history, or would you?
Well, I mean, it's I know the history of it. He's more, when it comes to Civil War history of the place, you know, he's better at explaining that. Because he knows all about the like, where the troops were and all that stuff. But as far as the history of Rick Rancher, I know it pretty much like the back of my hand. Because when, you know, they found, the history of the place. In October 4th, 1979, a young lady by the name of Melissa Carol Elliott was getting ready to go to school. She went to school at Battlefield Elementary School, which was about a quarter of a mile down the street from her house. You could actually see the school from her house. Her parents had left to go to work. Any normal Friday, it was, you know, maybe she was thinking about what she's going to be for Halloween because it was October. She's getting ready for school, and her brother came in her room, and he raped and killed her, shot her twice. He actually told in the police report, he said he had been doing drugs, and he went into a room And when she saw him, she started yelling at him to get out. And he said he blacked out. And when he woke up or came out of his daze or whatever, he found her dead on the floor. So he tried to think of a quick way to get rid of her body. So he dumped her out the back window of her room, which we have been in, put her in a refrigerator box, and tried to hide her, tried to hide her body. And he ended up stealing a car and made his way to Lumberton, North Carolina, where he was looking to meet up with his dad or maybe hide out at his dad's house. And he was finally caught like maybe 2 or 3 days later and brought back up to Hanover for trial, sentenced to life in prison. But he got out last year.
Shocker.
So, yeah, he's living in but yeah, he's not in jail anymore at the moment.
Wow.
That's a lot to live with.
That's not good, man.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of person he is, if it was just a one time thing. But
yeah.
I've got a feeling that stuff happened in that house. I don't know what happened. I just don't think that was an isolated incident. I think there was something going on in that house.
You think that maybe what was in the basement might have affected him in some kind of way?
Whatever Dennis was feeling.
Well, from what I've heard from Dennis, and from what I guess I think Melissa's friends had said that he spent a lot of time in the basement. And they would call him up for dinner, and he would come upstairs and eat his food really quick and then go downstairs and, like, pretty much slam his, you know, dishes in the sink and then go right back downstairs again. So he's definitely spending a lot of time downstairs in the basement. Again, I can't say for sure, obviously, but because you never know, but it would make sense if that was the case.
We don't know what he was doing down there.
No, I don't think he's doing. I mean, I don't know. It's all speculation. Anything before
right.
that day, speculation, and you know, hearsay.
Right.
Yeah. How old was he?
17.
Yeah, and especially when drugs play a role, it weakens your mind. You're more susceptible to activity.
Yeah, and you heard people even while we're investigating, doing an investigation in the building, feel like they need to leave, feel like they're getting super angry for no reason, you know,
yeah,
and that's just for a couple hours, if that.
Yeah,
really. So,
my first time walking into the Brick Rancher, as soon as I walked in, we weren't in an investigation, but we were walking over there. We had Misty Collins was walking around beating on the wall, and I had to get away from her. I didn't like her. I didn't know her. I didn't know, like, this isn't me. This isn't my feelings. And then I went straight to the basement, and I've never been in the house before, didn't know where it was, and I went straight to the basement and stood down there. And then Chris from Pandora, he came in, he pulled me out of the basement, and he's like, let's go outside. And I was like, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
It's
scary what it can do to people. Luckily, a lot of people, when they start feeling that way, they know to get out of the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we had an event at Christmas time. It was our first Christmas event we had. We had some people go downstairs, and they were the father-daughter team that had gone down there. And they were down there looking around, and the daughter started looking at the stairs and was pointing at the steps to go down the basement and was crying. And she was like, can you see it? She's looking. It's looking at me. It's right there staring at me. Her father can't get her to move. He, he's freaking out, she's freaking out. And finally, I'm like, let's get you out of here. So we go up, we take her upstairs. She finally can hardly get her to move. Take her upstairs. And as soon as she gets out the door, she calms down. Of course, I get Dennis, and he comes and gives a blessing on her and stuff. But he said, mm-hmm. She said she saw like a foot tall figure standing by the steps.
Wow.
And it was blocked, big shadow figure type thing. It was standing by the steps.
Going but, down to the basement or in the basement?
Going out the basement. Yeah, going down to the basement. I think it was over on the side where the water heater was or the sump pump was.
Okay.
It was on the other side. You could see it peeking over. Yeah. But,
and then
you know,
that right... That's right there where the floor is broken and it's dirt, right?
No, that's it's over by the door. Like
okay.
The back door leading steps. You go downstairs
yep.
And there on the other side of the steps, that's where the creature was that she saw. But
right.
Actually Angie has a story about the cabin on 360. We actually this is
okay.
Actually a good story about it. The story of how actually of how her and I met for the first time.
Yeah, let's hear that.
She took a bite out of a chip at the same time, so that's good timing on my part.
I was like, thanks. I mean, so oddly enough, like in 2006, I had had my daughter and, for like my push present that some men give. My husband at the time had given me a spa day, basically, to get my hair cut and colored and my nails done and a pedicure. And it happened to be my person who did my hair and stuff. She was working at the cabin when it was a salon. So I went out and, you know, I literally had just had my baby like a week ago. That was like a week postpartum. So I had to pump. So I went into the room in the back. And they had, like, a little thing set up for me so I could sit there and pump because I was literally all day. And I felt weird in the house, kind of all cabin. And then I stood up and I was kind of walking, pacing while pumping, and I looked out the window. And over by the brick house, I saw a very tall, like, shadow figure, and, like, a smaller little girl. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. So then I started asking questions, you know, and she was like, Michelle, the lady who did my hair, she was like, yeah, I don't know what that was. She was like, we got, you know, we see a little girl in here all the time. She messes with our faces and yada, yada, yada. Well, like, fast forward to
2016.
Yeah, it was 2017. Well, it was 2016. So it was my last summer camp. I was there 14. So I started having dreams about it was so weird. Like, right, I hadn't thought about it in years upon years. I started having dreams about the cabin. They just would not. And Ryan and I had kind of met. We had just been kind of texting back and forth, messaging. And I saw he had put a post up about the cabin. And I was like, dude, I have been having dreams about this place. You know, I had a really weird experience here after I had my daughter. Can I just meet you out? I just want to walk around. I was like, I don't even have to meet you out there. I was like, can you just give me permission to go onto the property? Because I like, you know, trespassing, especially in Hanover.
Right.
And so he was like, oh. And so he met me out there on a Sunday.
No.
And, you know, I told him what happened, and then he told me about the story, and, like, I don't think we've spent but a day apart since that.
Yeah, pretty
day.
Much. It's been the only time we've been really been apart is when she was in a hospital for RJ. And couldn't be
but
there.
Still,
you're
there every day.
Yeah. So,
you have a cabin love story.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Weird. Like, I dreamed about that place at least three times a week for about 2.5 months before I finally saw it. And it was just, I was replaying that incident over, and each time it would like get a little further. So it was just really weird.
That's cool. The cabin brought you together. Cabin love stories. They're the best.
So and then the freaking off field.
Exactly.
Yep.
How is the little girl that's being seen around there, though? Of all things.
Yeah. After, Melissa. Yep, being right there at the Brook Rancher.
You know what I don't get a lot of EVPs of, though, is the little girl when I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
Got
I was
EVPs.
Going through some EVPs Hi. Of when me and you led our event in the cabin.
Oh, yeah.
When me and you were leaving, and we were in Melissa's room, right after you asked the question, is there anybody here, or does anybody want to talk with us? Right after you say that, I have an EVP that says, I do. Not a little girl's voice.
That's awesome.
It's like
it's so cool the kind of EVPs we get from that building, or both buildings, actually. You know, in the cabin, definitely lots of different voices in there. Some of them not appropriate for children, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, even in the woods, you get Civil War spirits out there. In the brick house, you get, you know, whatever is in there, too. So it's
definitely a well-rounded site.
Yeah.
It is a good spot for big, you know, big events and investigating. There's a lot of room.
And the cool part is, brings people together. Like, being able to bring your family out, you know, if you're of age, obviously, but parents can bring their kids to a public investigation. Again, if they're of the right age and stuff.
And stay out of the workout.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know. And people can bring your friends and stuff, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and you get to learn some history too while you're out there, and get outside and maybe make some new friends, like, you know, we have.
Yeah, I've made a lot of new friends at the cabin, and every time I go out, I have a blast, and it is age friendly. It's very age friendly. Different age groups out there. And you guys have an event coming up at the cabin, the Valentine's Day Trail.
Yeah. well, the trail
How
part,
that
isn't happening anymore because of COVID. So we're going to have to postpone that part of it. But we do have an event next weekend. We're going to have, which I believe you're coming to. It's,
yes.
We're going to have two investigations, a private investigation on Friday night, and then this is private anyway, so you got my tickets for it. But I think we've got Misty and Ashley Connor coming.
Yeah.
We have tarot card readings, and we have got the haunted paramedic, the Chris Balasone is going to be there, and Alex and Chris from Paranormal Fix Cancer are going to be there. And we had this big event planned out. I'm not sure if some of your listeners know about this, but we did a lot of events for a young lady named Sawyer Perkins. She was 10 years old, and she suffered from brain cancer. And she was such a trooper, such a warrior. And unfortunately, she lost her battle with cancer. Was it right before Christmas or right after Christmas? I think it was right after Christmas.
I think right after Christmas, right before New Year's.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were going to have this event for her family. We're going to raise a ton of money for her family. It was supposed to be a two-day event. But, again, COVID restrictions really, you know, made it harder to do that, because we can only have 10 people in a house, in a structure at a time. So we're going to give the family the money that we are able to raise, and we're going to do another event whenever we're able to, whenever the COVID restrictions have been lifted. And we try to do as much as we can to help this family out because they've been through so much. Her mom lost her – well, she lost her. And then a few months before that, she lost her son to a random, like,
heart disorder.
Yeah, heart failure or something. So
– it was just totally out of the blue.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Yeah, so this family really needs all the help that they can – that we can give them.
Exactly. And that's one of the cool things about – another cool thing about, besides paranormal, which is incredibly awesome, of course, but being able to use the cabin and the property to raise money to get back to the community, not just Sawyer, but we've raised money for the MS Society. We've raised money for, like, battered women's shelters. We've raised for
Toys for Tots.
We've done Toys for Tots events at the cabin, which we will be doing again this year. Crohn's disease, American Heart Association, American Cancer Society, Hanover Tavern, Henricus Park. If you have a charity and you'd like to raise money for it, let us know and we'll put on an event for you.
I would definitely love to do something for my kids were premature.
Yeah.
So then,
yeah. Do something like that.
Y'all have definitely been putting in work.
We appreciate that, man. We're definitely trying to do our best to
do your best.
Exactly. We can teach people the paranormal
and give back and involve the community in paranormal investigating and also being able to give back to them as well. So it's really awesome what you guys are doing at the cabin.
True.
We like giving back. We like being able to teach people about the paranormal. Dennis has been incredible as far as, like, letting us use his equipment and stuff for the investigations giving history and stuff like that. And plus all the volunteers that come out, members of CROP and, you know, Pandora's Peregrination, Howie and Kat coming out here and helping out with our events and stuff. It's definitely a group effort.
If COVID restrictions don't let up, how do you guys plan to do events around them?
Like this event coming up here, we're not having any more than 20 people on the property, and we're not having more than 10 people in a house at the same time. So,
a lot of planning and rotating.
Yeah. I think outside, as long as you're socially distanced, it's okay. But,
mask,
I mean,
sanitizer.
Yeah. And when we have investigations anyways, we usually have more than one group in the house at a time because of noise pollution. And
right.
We don't, that's a train of thought. I don't know what I was trying to say, but we usually don't have that many people in the house at the same time on any investigation we have. So that's not going to change. And then,
basically just a lot of good planning and rotating.
It's going to be interesting because this is the first time we've tried doing this. But we've had people buy tickets, non-refundable plane tickets to come out to this event. We want to do something for them. We want to, make sure we do as much as we can to show them a good time.
Right, bring a ton of value.
Exactly. It's not going to be the same. But sometimes it's good to have a smaller investigation because you have more one-on-one time with the investigators. Maybe the spirits won't be so shy if there's less people there. Maybe you'll be able to hear maybe an EVP and get to hear before if there's a ton of people out there.
And in smaller groups, if a lot of people know each other, they're more likely to interact.
Yeah.
You know, and not be so shy and quiet. They feel more comfortable speaking up, asking questions. Because let's all face it, it's weird standing there talking to yourself in the dark, waiting for an answer that might not come.
Yeah.
So you guys think that, I mean, I know that y'all did a bunch of mini tours back in the fall. Do you think that y'all would do more mini tours like that because of COVID?
Yeah. I mean, then we didn't have, again, this restrictions just came down like end of November, because we were supposed to have a big event at Pamplin Park, but that got canceled because of the restrictions. So when we had the mini tours, those restrictions were not in place. We are definitely gonna have more mini tours, for sure, but trying to navigate like the rules stuff and where it would make sense. But having like a 10-person mini tour, you know, that would be that'd be something we could do.
How long have you been maintaining the property for?
We've been caretakers of it for about 4 years. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But it's family since the
70s. Yeah.
When it was built.
Yeah, the cabin was built in the late or early 80s. My grandfather bought the property in like 78, I think. I think it was the summer of 79. He bought the property. The murder took place like right after he bought it. A few months after he bought the property. You know what's funny? Not funny, but That day, my grandfather, for some reason, I don't know, fate or whatever, he sent two workers out to gather straw or bale hay or, you know, bush hog. I'm not sure the exact thing what they're doing out there. But he sent two workers out to the property. This is before the cabin was built. This is behind the brick house. Because now there's woods back there now, but there used to be a field back there. So he had sent his workers out there to bush hog back there, and they're the ones who found the box. So they called the office. They radioed into the office, and it was like 10:30 in the morning when they found their body. My dad was the only one in the office, so he was the one who had to go out there, and call the cops and meet the cops out there. So again, it's all fate. It's all coming together, you know? Like my grandfather, for some reason, sent his workers out that day at that time to find the body. They sent, you know, I mean, it obviously would have been found eventually, but the fact that it was my dad who went out there and found her and helped move her body into the body bag.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm here talking to her. You know, that's life for you.
Full circle.
Exactly. It's a circle of life.
At the cabin on 360.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's 360 is a circle.
Yeah.
There we go. It all comes together.
Look.
Yeah.
There's so many connections.
It's amazing. You see, about it, put that all that shit together. I just kind of came together in my head.
It's kind of mind blowing. Cabin on 360. It's a full circle.
Exactly. Now we're sitting here on the radio talking about it.
Well, because of the 360 is we're talking about, because you met her at the cabin, right?
Well, actually, I met her at Dennis's house.
Oh, well, even better.
Exactly. Was that when he had his debut on Travel Channel, I think?
Yeah.
With Don Wildman? Yep.
Yeah. He got mad on that, didn't he?
Yeah, he's that was an interesting show.
It was an interesting show.
It kind of went
I'm
off
sure
the rails.
They got some good ratings on it.
It was definitely an interesting show. I definitely want to go down. We definitely want to go down to Old House Woods with you here at some time. As soon as we can find someone to watch RJ, they can you know, stand his craziness?
We're actually working with Kimberly Moxley to set up some kind of event down there. It would be Underground's first event held. Not going to give out too much information about it yet, but we're hoping to do an event here in May, hopefully, with Kimberly.
Depending on COVID.
Yeah, with COVID.
Yeah. But it's outside, so hopefully the restrictions will be fast.
Well, you let us know when it is, if it's not anywhere near Audrey's birthday, because we will definitely try and be there. We'll get a babysitter, and we will come down for it. But RJ's birthday is in May, so we got to kind of work around that.
After the Valentine's Day trail, we don't have anything really scheduled for the cabin, do you?
No, we're actually working on fixing the cabin up. When you go there on Friday or Saturday, you'll see that the floor has been taken up. The subflooring is down, but they're planning on putting a whole new roof on the cabin and fixing the outside of it. So it's going to have some repairs, but we're opening back up for private investigations as far as if you want to rent the cabin out. We're trying to get people in there for that. But nothing is planned as of yet. Hopefully we'll be able to do something in March.
How much would it be to rent the cabin out?
The cabin now, we're going to have to raise the price, from Sunday to Friday, it's going to be $300. And then,
yeah.
And then from on Saturday it's gonna be $350. And as far as for six people, any additional person would be a $30 extra.
Sounds good. Good deal. So I get out there and do your own private little investigation of the cabin in $360. Is the rancher included on that too?
It's all three properties. It's the brick house, the rancher, and the cabin, or
the woods.
So,
which is a great deal. Pretty much $100 a location. You know, so
pretty much, yeah. I mean, you got two locations, two houses, and the woods.
Exactly, you could spend all night in the brick house. Like Sean Austin did a live stream from the brick house all night long. He was getting stuck. You know, or you can go to the cabin and get stuff, or like the woods. You go someplace like, you know, a lot of places are just one location. We have three different places you can choose from.
Yeah, the cabin's great.
One.
Three for the price of one. That's awesome. I think it's great. I might take you up on that deal here soon.
I'm saying about it too.
It's not that much. You split
between
six people. So it's really not that much if you think about it.
And even if you combine teams, I mean, it's a great place, you know, like we said, to bring people together.
Yeah, we've had joint investigations out there. I think Dennis was talking about maybe at some point fixing the shower upstairs. So you'll have that. You make it into like a paranormal era D&D or something.
I think that would be an awesome idea.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are interested in that.
Wow.
I would definitely.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
If I had to pick between some, I'd pick the paranormal one and then investigate why I'm there. That's a hands down for me.
Exactly.
Scare a lot of people off too.
Well, that's not for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan, is there anything else you want to see? We have any other events you want to throw
Again, as far as going back to the the radio part of the thing, we've got a lot of cool shows on the Vibe Network.
Yeah.
Holly and I started the Vibe Network as a place for people like myself, Angie, and you to be able to express themselves and have their own shows and discuss things they thought were important. It doesn't necessarily have to be paranormal related. That's kind of the way we've gone, but if you, anybody who wants to have a show is more than welcome to come on and just have a venue to, you know, get their ideas out there. And that's where we started the Vibe Network. And we've got a lot of cool shows on here. We've got the folks that run Haunts of Rich have a show on Monday nights where they tell ghost stories.
And they're great.
They're
awesome.
Great
at
that. Yeah. I mean, it's what they do for a living. So, and they're really good at it. You know, we have Wendy and Eric. They have night vision on.
That's so much fun.
It's Wednesday night. We have Jerry. They're great. Jerry Pritchard Reyes has five timeless Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give love to her. They're going through some stuff, and we're looking forward to having her back on the show, back on the air here very soon.
Yeah.
I know she's
very,
been going through some stuff.
Really soon. I miss Jerry's show.
Yeah, it's so good.
When
she took
everyone, it's like something for everybody there. She can really like get on anybody's level. She mm-hmm. might not want to stay there for a long time, but she can get on your level and help you understand it.
Exactly. So, yeah, and then of course we have your show, and then we've got we've got a show on Thursday night, like Into the Unknown or something. That's coming. I'm having a brain fart. There's something about Unknown. I mean, I feel really bad. It's a new show, so it's kind of hard for me to keep track of everything. But then we've got our show on Sunday nights, and then Heart Spiels on Sunday nights with Wendy Young.
Oh, is that new?
Yeah, that's her new show.
Okay.
It's by women for women, so it's all about women power and stuff. I'm missing this show. Is there a show, another show on Wednesday? No. All right. And there's another show on Saturday night, too.
That's your job to keep up with all that stuff.
I should make a list.
I smile and nod.
I should make a list.
Smile and nod.
You're supposed to look cute in the back, Angie.
Hey.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm glad we don't do this on Facebook Live or something most nights, because I'm
smile and nod and look cute.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about what the future holds for everyone involved in the network and stuff. And I'm just very thankful that people have decided to join us on this venture.
Well, I know that we are very honored to be on the Vibe Radio Network with you guys. So thank you so much for allowing us to put our show on the Vibe Radio Network. It means a lot to us, so thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
No problem. We are very happy to have you again on with us.
Yeah, we'll have to have you guys on the
show. Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
You have to bring back onto bring Underground onto the freaking awesome show next.
Do what? I'm sorry.
Angie, I have a handful of questions here for y'all about paranormal activity, if y'all want to answer some of them.
Quick questions.
All right, so how do spirits affect the living's physical and mental?
30 seconds.
I mean, I feel like spirits, they definitely are on their own level, but they affect ours. They affect our energy so that they can get, you know, their energy to manifest. I feel like, you know, especially if you're a sensitive person, you can walk into a room and completely be on another level and affected by where that spirit is, their journey.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can't say better than that.
All right. Have you encountered more threatening or non-threatening spirits?
I've not experienced anything threatening to me at all.
I mean, no. I have definitely experienced more non-threatening spirits, but I have definitely felt a handful of threatening that are more impactful to me than those little nice, happy-go-lucky spirits are. I think the threatening ones definitely affect me more, but there are fewer of them.
I've got EVPs that say kill you, or one said I want to stab you, but I get those EVPs at home. So when I'm at the house, I don't feel threatened. but when I get home, I listen to them, I'm like, oh, crap, there was something there. So I've never felt at ease, I guess, when I'm at on an investigation.
That's good. All right. What can everybody do to be more aware of spiritual activity?
What was that question? I'm sorry.
What can the living do to be more aware of spiritual activity?
I would say try not to go in with any preconceived notions. Like, even if you've been told a story, try to put that to the back and try to listen
right.
to yourself. Listen to your body. Listen to what's going on.
Mind.
Be aware. And yeah, be aware of everything that's going on and just try not to be deceived, like walk in there and say, okay, this is what happened here. This is what I'm looking for. Because you might pick up on something from a totally different time.
Just be aware of your surroundings.
Right. All right. Well, guys, that's we got 4 minutes left.
All right. What's
next? We'll ask another question?
Yeah, let's go.
Go one more. All right. Come on.
What are some signs to look for if you suspect paranormal activity in your home?
What signs to look for if you suspect paranormal activity at home?
I would say strange smells that, you know, kind of come and go that there's no explanation for. Definitely things disappearing and then reappearing in different spots. And if you just have an off feeling, you know, if you feel like something's not right.
Yeah, if you're, say your daughter, her head spins for no apparent reason.
Green pea vomit, that's
you
a
know,
big one.
Her eyes turn glowing red. That's probably a good indication that there's
oh, my God.
You're
good.
Walking on the actual ceiling. That's
yes.
a good one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Good. That's great. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for being on the show with
thank
us
Thank you
tonight.
So much.
Thank
we appreciate
you, Brian.
It.
Thank you.
Fun.
Y'all
have
a
good
night. Thank you, guys.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Bye.
Okay, guys. That was Brian and Angie from the Freaking Awesome Show. They were pretty cool. Good insight. So,
yeah, thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Yep. So this is Underground's Going Ghost. We hope that you guys enjoyed it. We won't be on next Friday because we will be at the Cabin on 360 for the Valentine's Day event.
No longer trail.
So we will be there next weekend, but the following weekend on February 19th, we were going to be going ghost with Kimberly Moxley from Old House Woods. And I also want to let everybody know that we have T-shirts for sale, and $5 of each shirt purchased goes to supporting Sawyer and her family. So if you want to buy a Underground Going Ghost,
just do it. Buy the T-shirt.
Ghost Underground Paranormal.
Before Hose.
Or our Underground.
Your Shadow Buff in here.
Just do it.
Paranormal.
There you go.
Just do it. So thank you guys. Appreciate it so much. And this is Going Ghost.
Thank you. Word. That's fun. High five, team.
High five, team.
The British are coming. The British are coming.
No.